We do speak about peace for lifetimes and generations and throughout the whole history of humankind. We do a lot of speaking about peace. How very, very important it is not only to speak about peace, but also to give it space, to give space to the feeling quality of peace, to feel it. For some of you, maybe when you saw the theme, it's like, yeah, peace, war, surrender, been there, done that, know that one, boring. When we think we found it, we found the feeling of peace. What we've probably found is a quiet contraction, a place where there is an absence of conflict, a place of holding, maybe. So when we find peace, although that might be the doorway that we find, big, old doorway, it's quite important to soften ourselves and to begin to venture a little further in, to go further in with the feeling awareness, deeper into this non-dual quality of peace. Because it's so incredibly important. From the Alpha to the Omega, from the background of consciousness, the living soil of the mind, the source of everything, all the way through to the devastating consequences when we lose that feeling connection with peace. Death, murder, trauma, suicide, sacrifice, devastation. Not just suffering, suffering we can deal with, but this is senseless suffering. The suffering of war, the suffering of conflict on scales which we hardly dare imagine what we're capable of when we lose a feeling connection with peace. Because when we lose a feeling connection with peace, we've actually lost something of our capacity to feel anything at all. Something inside ourselves has created a tough layer where we do a U-turn back into the world, together with all the suffering, looking into the world as a way to resolve this suffering or to blame the world for this suffering. Looking for the peace out there, in the conditions. When there's no more suffering, then we will have peace. That's kind of unfortunate because there is suffering and there's no end in sight. So if we're waiting for the end of suffering before we can allow ourselves to feel peace, we're getting into a little bit of trouble. When there's no more conflict, then we can feel peace. You know, the whole of creation is based on conflict. The Big Bang, the explosions of light, the catalysis of one form meeting another form. The evolutionary aspect of positive stress, sport. Conflict isn't in itself bad. So maybe it's not the conflict, it's when there is no more evil here. When there's no more bad here. Then we will have peace. But we're in a hell loop. We're really in a loop of hell because we feel very, very, very bad when we feel that peace is not available for us. We feel uneasy, unsafe, unsupported, unwell. So we feel bad. We feel bad because peace is not there. Waiting for peace to be there. Waiting for somebody else, maybe the big government in the sky, the great big gig, to make some peace already. To do something. So, of course, we can negotiate the end of outright murder, flying in all directions. We can negotiate a ceasefire. But we are not the bosses or in command of peace. Peace is always here. Behind all of our craziness, peace is here. Even in the worst scenes of devastation and horror, peace is here. Even when we are suffering the most horrific loss, the loss of our position, the loss of our home, the loss of our country, the loss of our livelihood, the loss of our loved ones, the loss of our health, even the loss of our minds, peace is always here. Peace is unconditional. Often peace shows up like a great wave of grace, like a blanket falling down, precisely when there is a fragmentation of our reality, when there is a clearance of our beliefs and our projections and our plans and our agendas. And we have so many agendas which cloud our connection with peace. We have an agenda to be good and not bad, to be the good one and not the evil one. But then somewhere in our lives, we have felt ourselves to be a little bit evil, a little bit unkind. There are parts of ourselves which we don't trust that much. Maybe we have a capacity for evil because we are human and humans do some evil stuff. Maybe we're insecure in that. So we very, very much want to be good and not bad. But look what we're doing. We're splitting ourselves up. We're dividing our goodness from our badness in a conflict. And this is so incredibly sad. Because often a young child gets exposed to either religious ideology or secular ideology, and somewhere along the line gets a feeling that they might be bad. They get shamed. Maybe for something totally natural, like touching her genitals in the back of the car, she gets shamed. She's like evil incarnate. She feels this energy awakening inside of her, put inside of her. And she's told, this is bad. This is wrong. This is wrong. And of course, every good school child wants to be good and not bad. But were they bad? Or was wrongness or badness or that which must be rejected, that which cannot be here, was it transferred to them as a way to groom them into a certain civilized, non-rejectable, whitewashed goodness? It's tricky because we all have this. We all have this draw on this survival vitality, this warmongering vitality of fight the evil and be the good one. Because the more we reject it inside ourselves, the more it cannot be. The more we feel ourselves temporarily rewarded with being the good one. And then something comes along like a virus or an illness. And you know what? Viruses and illnesses, they're bad. That's where the evil is. We have to fight against this evil. So it's a conflict. It's a conflict. We don't see that actually our symptoms are a response, a negotiating response to the presence of a pathogen or something which it needs to be communicated with. We think our symptoms are the pathogen and the symptoms make us feel bad, so the pathogen is bad. So that's where the evil is. We're going to fight the war against COVID. Splitting ourselves again, directly through the middle, between the good inners and the bad inners, between the traumatized places of ourselves, those places or parts of ourselves which we are unable to own because they just seem too bad, too wrong, too guilty, too ashamed. And the part we show to the world, the good part, between the good, friendly, sociable, nice, civilized part of ourselves, and the part of ourselves maybe which is deeper down because it was born younger, which the world must never see. And of course, the more we build it, the more it seems that we have this bad thing inside, and there's a war going on inside. And how convenient and what a relief it is when comes a government and comes the mass media and says the evil is there in that country, in that little, very little man. That's where all this evil is. That's where you put your evil, and you're the good one. You are the good one. So hate him. Despise him. Say he has no soul. Then you will be good. If you question this, then you will be bad. You go on the wrong side of the line. So you see how the psychology of war begins to build, because it's such a relief for so many people to have this conflict, which is inside themselves, projected out there on the world, on the canvas, the blank canvas of the world. Such a relief to have an enemy on the outside, that we all feel all together. What happened with the Holocaust, that was also putting the enemy on the outside. The Jewish people, they were bad. They were the other. They were the ones which were in the way of the peace. They were where the collective put their conflict, put their trauma, put their rage, put their sense of humiliation, put their need to be good, to define themselves as good, as successful, not as a failure, not as a loser, to be safe from humiliation, to be safe from disgrace, to belong. And when we really connect with the felt sense of war, the atmosphere of war, it is so much like the atmosphere of trauma. It's the atmosphere of extremities, of kill or be killed, of murderous conflict, of death, of annihilation. It doesn't matter that everyone's killing everybody altogether. It's still murderous energy. It doesn't matter who kills who. It's still murderous energy. And we have to come to quite a situation of instability and fear inside ourselves, fear of being bad, in order to act out like that on the innocent other. Because the other always is innocent when you look them in the eyes. And when we go into this psychology of war, like when we go into the psychology of trauma, all of the good behaviors, all of those things which made us good before, that we were honest and that we didn't trick and that we spoke truthfully and that we didn't kill, we wouldn't even hit somebody, that we wouldn't hurt another person, that we care about human life, that we care about the environment. All of those things which previously made us good, that we so much used to make us good, now the bug has turned over and we are able to totally let our badness out in the name of good. within the psychology of war, it's okay if you lie. It's okay if you pretend. It's okay if you get up to some trickery. It's okay if governments don't tell people what's really going on. It's okay if you hurt others. The ends justify the means. It's okay to let off a nuclear bomb on a Japanese city. It's okay. Suddenly it's okay. So all of our conditioning suddenly is broken open and turned over, and it's so similar when we move into a state of trauma within ourselves. We switch into another psychology, a psychology which is much more like kill or be killed when we're in a state of trauma. Become super defensive, maybe aggressive. We hate the ones that want to love us. We become bitter and cynical, which is okay, but it's just to get a sense of how what's going on out there is always also what's going on in here. And as long as we're waiting for the peace to be made out there in order for us to find some peace, we're going to perpetuate suffering for ourselves and for others as well. The only quality that is indispensable to moving out of trauma or to any healing process is peace. You can work with somebody for 10, 15 years and for no good reason, and who knows why, a whole divine synchronicity of things, at a certain moment comes this sense of peace. And you know that it's done. The cycle is complete. In fact, I remember sitting in a court in Haifa, divorce court, and the judge, who wasn't a woo-woo judge at all, no sympathy at all for the new age, this judge, but he's sitting there bored, seeing one divorce case after another. And he starts to make small talk with the lawyers, who are themselves want to become judges at a certain moment. And he said, you know, it's funny. A couple will fight and fight and fight and fight and fight, and there's nothing I can do and nothing you can do to make it good. But then suddenly, for no reason, and I don't understand it, there is this feeling of peace that comes over the courtroom. And then they sort it out. It's a weird thing. 3 years before that, they would never have been able to settle, but suddenly that energy comes and it's time. But until then, they need to fight. This peace is part of every healing process because it's the peace which allows us to be born. It's the peace which allows us to die. It's the peace which allows us to enter into entanglement, into the embrace of life. And it's the peace that allows us to let it go. That means that when we move through a cycle of suffering or a cycle of trauma, individually or collectively, and when it's truly realized, that particular cycle, when it's completed, this peace will be revealed. There'll be a clearance. Now, an important part of this is to have enough connection with the peace inside ourselves while we are in the conflict, at the same time that we are suffering. Because this peace is not in a competition with conflict. It's not waiting for conflict to stop. It's always here. It's so very powerful and so very alive. It's even part of the energy that makes our ability to take it for granted. That's even an offshoot of peaceful energy, that we are able to get used to this peace being here. It's life-giving. It's rejuvenating. It creates space and time. And most important of all, peace has this ability to move us to the essence at a deeper dimension than where the conflict is happening. That means that one time when we go down a trauma tunnel, there is the possibility to awaken with a kind of self-consciousness. Oh, I am totally in a trauma right now. And peace will be there behind the experience of suffering, allowing us to speak, to recognize, to move even from this place of trauma to a place of softness, kindness, connection, humility, and maybe then back again to the place of trauma. Because it's behind everything. It can move between the left hand and the right hand, and the right hand and the left hand. It's from another dimension, a dimension which reminds us of what's essential, of the bigger picture, of the deeper mystery, of the deeper promise of being alive. So in these times, it's absolutely fine to care about the conflicts that we hear about. But it's much better to actually care in the sense of opening up the feeling vibration, the feeling awareness to what part of the suffering is really upsetting us. Because in any moment, there is infinite variety of suffering to be affected by. And it's not a coincidence that you are uniquely affected by one particular flavor of suffering. For example, when we turn our attention to a war zone, for some people, the suffering is very, very much awoken in the whole region of refugees and people losing their homes. For others, it's very much awoken in the area of animals suffering. For others, it's the devastation to the earth. We live also in a war zone, and here, for some people, somebody I asked, what particularly upset him was how very, very, very cold it must be for the Russian soldiers. Young boys, 17 years old, 18 years old, not there by choice. How much they must be suffering in the cold right now. So each one has their own resonance in terms of the suffering that they are vibrating with. And just as you have your own flavor of conflict, of pain, you have your own flavor of peace, which is there, which allows you to connect to this area of suffering, which allows the movement of compassion. Because there's a reason why you connect to that particular vibration. And there's a reason why you are here now, and that's partly because the peace inside of you is strong enough and free enough and available enough to allow you to move through those sufferings, allows you to carry those areas of suffering, allows you to still smile, to still move on with life without denying, without rejecting, without repressing, without saying it's okay, with compassion. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. So you actually have the resource that is so deeply needed for the people out there. You can offer them, from that particular variety of suffering, the peace, which will be to them like a strength, like a backbone, a spiritual backbone, that will give them maybe the energetic support to be able to contain what they are going through, that will give them endorsement to a space deep inside themselves, behind it all, where they can stay centered, where they can still breathe, where they can still stay awake, maybe where they can still see middle way possibilities. So we are all part of this. We're part of it when there's a war going on in Europe. We're part of it when there's a war going on in the Middle East. We're part of it when there is another war going on in Australia, where whole villages in the meantime were wiped by floods, where people were also left homeless because of climate disaster, where people are also devastated, faced with unfixable challenges. We're part of it all because we are one as human beings. We are one and we are responsible. It doesn't mean we're guilty. Guilt only comes forward when we're in that very silly conflict between good and evil. We're responsible because it's our body which is suffering, our human body. And because we are able to move to the center and the core of ourselves behind our own consciousness and breathe out the wish for peace or the intimate sense of peace towards those fields of suffering which are out there. And of course, when we do that, we're also giving ourselves a healing as well. Because we're training the whole system that no matter what happens to us, and no matter what has ever happened to us, we are able to move through it. We are not defined by it. It doesn't control us. We're made of this peace. It's there as a potential everywhere where we put our consciousness. It's there as a potential in the physical sensation of whatever we touch. It's there in the gap between our feet and the earth. So if we must surrender, then let us surrender to peace. And if we must go to war, let's go to war to find the peace inside ourselves, to ferociously find this peace in such a way that we can blend with it, merge with it, become one with it, let ourselves be overpowered by it. Let it move through the nerve system. Let it teach us. Let it guide us. Let it remind us how to love one another, how to care for one another. But let it open up the possibility of happiness, unconditional.